This is 91.7 WVXU's Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. The USO is a national organization that's been around since 1941. Say USO to most people, and they may think of Bob Hope. But the USO has been serving the needs of millions of military men and women and their families from World War II to the present day. The USO has a major event coming up Sunday in Cincinnati. You can join our conversation about the USO by calling 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. You'll also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Again, 513-419-7100. Joining us to talk about the USO and its mission are Elaine Rogers, who heads USO Metro in Washington, D.C., and she's joining us on the phone. The USO Metro is the largest USO organization in the country, and Steve Lee is joining us here in the studio, one of the local organizers of the USO. Elaine and Steve, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, you're very welcome. Elaine, you're head of USO Metro Washington, which is obviously the largest of the USO organizations. But before we talk about that, I was wondering if you could tell me a little of the history of the USO. I know it started, you know, in the military buildup to World War II when President Franklin Roosevelt basically put together a number of organizations under one umbrella to aid military men and women and their families. Can you walk us briefly through the history of the USO and how its mission has evolved over the years?
Oh, absolutely, and thanks for asking and for having us on. But you've got your history down very, very well, because you're absolutely right. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt actually formed our organization. And what he did is he brought six private organizations together. It was the YMCA, YWCA, National Catholic Community Services, National Jewish Welfare Board, Travelers Aid Association, and the Salvation Army. And what he did was he brought those organizations together and kind of challenged them to handle the on-leave recreational needs of members of our armed forces, hence the USO, United Service Organizations. And I'll tell you what else is interesting is that President Bush's one's father, Prescott Bush, actually, under President Roosevelt, really raised the funds to start the organization. And I think if in today's dollars it would have been billions or something like that that he raised to get the USO going. So in 1941, we were kind of incorporated, and literally, by the end of the war, we were operating more than 3,000 USOs across the United States. And they were staffed by, and I have to say this, USO's most valued resource, and that's our volunteers. Without the volunteers who came in to help the USO, we would not have been able to survive then or now. And then President Roosevelt became our first honorary chairman. And you of course, used a name a little bit earlier that is synonymous with the USO,
yes.
And that's Bob Hope.
Right.
And, you know, so many people, when they say, oh, you're with the USO, yeah, Bob Hope and entertainment. And just as a quick little historical fact, between 1941 and 1947, more than 7,000 entertainers performed in over 420-some thousand USO shows. And it's a great, great legacy for the USO to have, and it's one we cherish to today. But it's not the only thing that the USO does. In fact, it's a very small piece of what the organization does, especially today, because once, you know, Vietnam ended, our warriors, we were really, you know, a draft. Everybody was drafted to go into the military. And after Vietnam, our forces really went to become an all-volunteer force.
Right.
And with that, you know, people were coming into the military with families. So the USO has really changed to meet the needs of not just our active duty family members, but their dependents, We're in all the airports. We're emergency services, from emergency food to emergency travel to job fairs. We have centers on the bases. And, of course, our newest initiative since this war started, which, again, brought back our history of really helping our wounded warriors and their caregivers and their family members. So that's kind of in a nutshell.
Yeah. I mean, in Cincinnati, here at the Union Terminal, the train station back in World War II, there were something like 3 million military men and women who passed through on their way to deployments, and they were all served by the USO. Isn't that right, Steve?
That's right. In fact, we're having an event tomorrow morning that opens up the Vietnam portable wall.
Mm-hmm.
That will be here for the weekend. It will be open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And one of the pieces of history is the ice cream shop that's in the Union Terminal is where the USO was during World War II.
Is that right? I wondered where it was physically located, but it was in the ice cream shop.
In the ice cream shop. Yeah. And, in fact, I went there yesterday, and they have pictures in the archives of the USO, and so I asked them to get a couple of those photos for us. So all the wounded guys that are coming in this weekend, we plan on giving them a copy of the picture of where the USO, you know, was then.
And you're referring to the wall that heals, which is a half-sized replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C.
That's
which
correct.
Which has obviously traveled around the country, but the USO has brought it here.
To
Union Terminal.
We have brought it here with a sponsor and our partner, the VFW. And they have been so great to organize everything that's happening at the Union Terminal for the weekend. And we'll have a 24-hour honor guard, and they are over there right now putting it together and making everything happen there.
Elaine, obviously, you know, the mission has evolved over the years, and as you pointed out, we're now in a situation where it's an all-volunteer force. Cincinnati does not have a major military base. The closest is Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton. However, we have dozens and dozens of reserve units, National Guard units here, and I know that the USO serves those people as well when they're – because many of them have gone through multiple deployments.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you do for the reservists and the guardsmen?
Oh, my gosh. We have such an array of services, and I have to tell you that having been in Cincinnati so many times, I first want to say I love your city. The hometown feel and the caring for our military and your patriotism is so amazing, and I've had the opportunity first time to kind of see all of that. And I do know when you look at the statistics of how many reserves and National Guards are out of your area there, it's amazing. But you know, as military travel, I'm just going to give a couple of examples. As military travel, whether it's reservists or in the Guard or your active duty, you know, you're traveling all over the world. So you go into most any airport where there are military that are transiting in and out of those airports, the USO is there. And what it is the USO is the representative of the American people to our military, saying, we're not forgetting you, we're here, you know, what can we do to help you? And we are that home away from home. So a military personnel or their families, regard or reservists, can walk in and we will do almost anything that they need. If they need to call home, if they need to call their command, if they just need a cup of coffee, if they want to come in and sleep for a while and have somebody wake them up before, you know, their flight leaves. Those kinds of services we do worldwide.
And Steve, there
is
a center at the Greater Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky.
There certainly is.
Airport. How well used is that? Do you know?
Well, the usage is picking up all the time. They've been there now a couple of years, and you know, it's kind of interesting when you were talking about the reserve and guard.
Mm-hmm.
you know, a couple years ago, and the Guard has come into play big in the reserve, you know, in defending the country and its freedoms. But I was in Afghanistan during Thanksgiving, and so I'm over there, and we're serving Thanksgiving meals all over the place. We were in helicopters going from spot to spot. And so, you know, I'm there, you know, doling out the mashed potatoes. And so I said, "Where are you from?" And the guy says, "I'm from someplace in Kentucky." And the next guy comes along, he says, "I'm from someplace in Kentucky." And I said, "Well, what's going on here with all everybody being from Kentucky?" They said, "We're all members of the Kentucky National Guard."
Yeah.
And so that was really pretty interesting. And then the first person that I met in Walter Reed Hospital 10 years ago was a member of the Kentucky National Guard. And it just came to play also that he was my mailman when I lived in Lexington, Kentucky.
Is that right?
And
Steve, you're a senior vice president at UBS Financial. My understanding is that your involvement in USO started on a golf course, of all places. Can you tell that? Can you tell that story? Just how you got involved and how deeply involved you've been here in the Cincinnati area, and obviously across the country and in places like Afghanistan.
Well, it did start in a golf course in West Virginia, but really it started in front of my television set, and I saw a segment on TV on Walter Reed Hospital in Ward 57, where our severely injured members of the military who had lost limbs were located. And so it touched my heart. And then I was a couple months later on a golf course in West Virginia and met these couple guys. And I said, "Well, what are y'all doing? We're retired military and live in Washington, D.C. And I said, "Well, tell me about these soldiers and their families that are facing these challenges." And we talked for 4 or 5 hours. And then at the end of the day, is, "How can I help?" And they said, "We don't know, but we'll find out." And so about 6 to 8 weeks later, I get a call from a congressman and these two retired military. And they said, "We think it's USO. We feel that the USO is an organization that's been here for a long time. And so we're going to set you up with a call with the president of USO in Washington, Elaine Rogers." And so I went over to Washington. I met Elaine. They took me through Walter Reed. I met Staff Sergeant Joe Bowser, who is, you know, now one of my best friends. And we talk, you know, 2 or 3 times a week. And it's been the greatest thing in my life. And I can tell you that I talked to a soldier this morning. And as he said, you know, "Once we become your friend, we're always your friend." And I have friends now in all parts of the country because of the friendships that I've developed through the USO and the military.
Steve, could you describe, what do you do for the USO here locally? I mean, what kind of things are you involved with?
Well, a group of friends, we got together after this conversation on the golf course and started with Dean Gregory and Richard Wilhelm, and then expanded to Nancy Bloom, Karen Cassidy, and Craig Combest, Dwayne Hickerson, and we all got together and we put together a fundraiser, and you know, to an event to show appreciation and support, you know, for these wounded guys at Walter Reed, and this event is in its 10th year. This is the 10th anniversary, and this weekend, Sunday, we've formed a new partnership with the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra, who's donated themselves. And as a matter of fact, the Horseshoe Casino is sponsoring 1,000 vets to come to this event. And we're going to fill up Music Hall, and we've had 38 severely wounded have come from Walter Reed over the past 9 years, and 28 of those 38 are coming back to be here for the celebration and this anniversary, and it's sort of like a family reunion with the USO.
Elaine, we heard that Steve got involved in a conversation on a golf course. How did you begin your involvement with USO?
Oh, my goodness. You're almost going back 40 years ago. I actually knew and worked with Bob Hope. So I was at the right place at the right time, and have had the honor of running this organization for 38 years and meeting heroes like Steve was talking about. Every day I get to see these amazing young men and women and their families who serve our country. And due to that, you know, as I said earlier, one of the prize pieces that the USO has is our volunteers. And you have people like Steve Lee, who, as you said, he has a job that he, you know, has to go to every day. But he and so many hundreds of thousands of American citizens give of their time to the USO to be volunteers so that we can keep all of these airport locations and all of our centers open, and entertainers donate their time to the USO. We don't pay them to do USO tours. So it's a wonderful American story, and without people giving of themselves like Steve Lee does, the organization wouldn't be here. And it's, as I said, it's a great American story, and Bob Hope was just the best. He was a great man.
I think some people have the impression that the USO has some kind of government help, but it's really not. It's a private organization that has to depend on.
I will tell you, that's one of the toughest things I've had to fight all these years, was the fact that everybody thinks, oh, you're a government organization. No,
right.
No, we aren't. We're actually a nonprofit organization. We are the only organization chartered by Congress to specifically meet the needs of military and their families. So thank you for saying that, because a lot of people have that impression, and it's not the case.
And right now in Metro Washington, you're building a Warrior and Family Center at Walter Reed. Is that correct?
Yes, we have one at Fort Belvoir, which is also here. And that's where we have a 25,000-square-foot USO there, helping with wounded warriors and their family members. And we're dealing directly with the hospitals, as well as we have a 16,000-square-foot USO on the new Walter Reed Bethesda, working directly with the military to help especially our wounded warriors and their family members deal with all the things that they're dealing with. And those, all of the young men and women who have been honored at this event, who are going to be in your wonderful town this weekend, each of them has such an amazing story of bravery and what they've gone through, and it's a wonderful way to thank them for their service.
Just real quickly, Steve, before we run out of time here, we've only got about 15 or 20 seconds left. You have some people that you're actually going to honor at your event on Sunday. Who are those honorees?
We are. We have Dr. J. Johannikman, Dr. Warren Dorlach, Congressman Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Brad Winstrup, Dr. Jed Hardings, Dr. Kathleen Chard, and Medal of Honor recipient, longest serving in the history of the Army, Colonel Gordon Roberts, who is a Cincinnati native.
We've been talking about the USO with Elaine Rogers, who's the head of the USO Metro in Washington, D.C., and Steve Lee of the local organization. Thank you both.
Thank you.
And you'll find to the USO's website on our website, WVXU.org. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available on the website, WVXU.org. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Our technical director was Rick Andrus. With Howard Wilkinson, I'm Jay Hanselman.